God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
Well, good afternoon. This is the American Family Radio Network. Alex McFarland here. So glad you're listening. And I'm very honored to be sitting in this hour. If you recognize my voice, it's because of a program, maybe because of either Exploring the Word, which is a radio show heard every afternoon on the American Family Radio Network, or maybe Truth and Liberty, which is a television show that we'll talk about more here in just a moment. But I'm very honored to be sitting in for Todd Herman today, and we've got a great show. We have got two very, very special guests, one of whom is attorney, pastor, cultural commentator, and host of Truth and Liberty, Richard Harris, that I'll bring to the mic in just a moment. Then later on in the program, Franklin Graham of Operation Christmas Child, the Shoebox Ministry. We'll talk with Franklin Graham in about 30 minutes, and we're very honored to have both of them on. But I'm going to cue this up, and then I'll bring Richard Harris on. What do these things have in common, folks? The Sermon on the Mount, the Magna Carta, the Mayflower Compact, the Fairfax Resolves, which preceded the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, the Northwest Ordinance, the Emancipation Proclamation, on and on I could go. What do these things have in common? Well, they have in common what we call a Judeo-Christian worldview and the idea that human rights are not from man, but human rights come from God. The role of good civil government is not to give you rights, but to guard the rights that you inherently have from your Creator, Almighty God. These things are at risk. They must be talked about. And somebody who's doing that as intelligently and effectively and frankly, inspiring millions of viewers every week is Richard Harris. He's a colleague and a friend. We teach together at Karis Bible College in Woodland Park, Colorado. And he's just a guy that I learn things every time I talk with Richard Harris. And we are very honored to have him on the American Family Radio Network this afternoon. Welcome, attorney, brother, colleague, friend, Richard Harris.
Hey, Alex, thank you so much. That was a very kind introduction. I really appreciate it. It's great to be with you.
Well, it's good to be with you, and very excited. There are a lot of legal, biblical things that I want to talk to you about, but I want to talk briefly about Truth and Liberty, because this is a great show. You are really spearheading the creation of this show. And I've had the privilege, last week I was on with Jonathan Kahn, but tell people where they can find Truth and Liberty.
Absolutely. Well, so Truth and Liberty is on 3:30 to 5 o'clock, Monday through Friday, and you can catch us on our website at truthandliberty.net, also on Gospel Truth. .tv on that website, and we live stream to our social media pages as well. So Truth and Liberty's Facebook page and Andrew Womack Ministries Facebook page. Truth and Liberty is an arm of Andrew's ministry, and so those are the we also are on Rumble. One place you won't find us right now is on YouTube, simply because we are constantly being threatened with censorship by them and cancellation because we are not afraid to speak the truth. But you can find us on any of those places. And the best place is going to be on our website at truthandliberty.net.
Yeah, the tech overlords at YouTube take us off, you know, sometimes. I'll tell you what was really just amazing. I had to laugh. But I stopped last week. I was on the road traveling, and I just stopped in a random store to, you know, get a drink, get a soda pop. And there I was. But here's the wild thing. It was on Dish Network. I mean, I saw it with my own eyes. And there was Truth and Liberty. And the lady, I got a diet soda and took it up to the counter. And she looked at the screen and pointed to me. She said, "That's you."
And, Was it your episode that she was watching?
Yeah, it was Truth and Liberty. I was on with Carl Kirby, who is one of the founding board members of Answers in Genesis. And we're talking about creation versus evolution. By the way, tonight I'll be on with Dr. Robert Pacienza of D. James Kennedy Ministries, and we're going to be talking about biblical worldview. And that's tonight on Truth and Liberty. But, folks, it's 5:30 to 7 Eastern time. We do take calls and questions. We love it when people call in. But, and we'll give the website again. But let me ask you this. You, Richard Harris, with a successful law career, if memory serves, I think you were in Oklahoma. What led you into the work of biblical worldview and really giving all of your skills and your efforts to trying to impact this country? How did you get into this role, Richard?
That's a good question, Alex. It's a long story, but I've always had an interest and a passion for America and for government, but also felt a calling from the Lord for ministry. And so with these two areas of my life, it seemed like it was a continual sort of back and forth process. In the year 2011, then into 2012, God began calling us to make a change, and I learned about Andrew Womack's ministry and about Karis Bible College here in Woodland Park, Colorado. And through a series of events, the Lord made it very clear to me and to my wife that He was calling us to leave our successful law practice and come here and go through Bible college. And we did that, and we're now 11 years later and look back, and it was one of the greatest decisions I ever made. Karis is a fantastic place. I call it it's the closest thing to heaven on earth that I've ever experienced. And after going through the Bible college there, Andrew decided he wanted to launch a practical government school. That's what we call it, with David Barton. You're involved there. I was tapped to be the first coordinator there, and we built the curriculum. And then 3 years later, Truth and Liberty was born. And Andrew asked me to come over and be the executive director of Truth and Liberty. And so that's kind of how that happened. And it's been a fantastic experience.
Yeah. I tell people the School of Practical Government, it's really kind of a political science program, but overtly Christian and overtly constitutional. Let's speak about that. Richard, this is amazing. And folks, if you're just tuning in, Alex McFarland here with attorney, pastor, cultural commentator Richard Harris. Two major quotes I came across in the news this week, Richard. Bill Maher, famously liberal commentator, politically incorrect with Bill Maher, but Jewish American, very, very liberal, and also Michael Shermer, an atheist. I've debated Michael Shermer. In fact, at Dr. Mark Cowart's church, I debated Michael Shermer, a long-term atheist. But both Bill Maher and Michael Shermer this week said that wokeness and cancel culture is a threat to this country, and that both have basically said if they could go back 20 years, they would like to undo the stand they had for liberalism, wokeness, because they, and it's almost, even Bill Maher almost said, look, God and the Bible were the foundation, and if we lose that, we've got anarchy. I could elaborate, but here's my question, really, Attorney Harris. Have we gone too far? Even the atheists are recognizing, hey, the world is unraveling before our very eyes. It was morals and God that held it together. Let's reel it in a little. But have we gone too far, Richard?
Alex, so many people are wondering that at this point. So many people are wondering if America has now gone over the brink, and is our decline irretrievable? And I firmly believe that it is not irretrievable. I don't. Have we gone too far? Well, yeah, we've gone too far, but not too far for God, not too far for us to come back. It's really about deciding. There's a decision that we're facing, and the decision is squarely at the feet of believers, at the church. There's no way for us to expect those who don't know Christ to find the way back, but we know the way back because the way back is inside of us and is witnessing inside of us, but we just need to make a decision as Christians that we're no longer going to be silent and we're no longer going to be uninvolved and that we are going to be salt and light in the culture. And that's what Truth and Liberty is all about. That's what the Practical Government School at Caris is all about. And I truly believe that if pastors would humble themselves across this nation and seek the face of God and begin to put his calling and commandments first instead of, their own ministries. And I don't mean to badmouth pastors. And if Christians would reject the philosophies of this world and begin to look for ways to be salt and light everywhere in the culture and in every other place, I think we can still win America back. There are many positive signs, many positive indicators right now. We see revival breaking out on college campuses. We see people Amen. Like Bill Maher and others who are beginning to awaken and to see the light. So we just got to remember that God is often seems like a God of the last minute, and he will get the glory, and will not forget his elect and the remnant that are in this nation. So I think we need to keep the faith and continue to sound the alarm, and let God do his thing.
Do you have any advice for churches and for pastors? And you and I both have pastored, and we've both spoken in many churches. I love the church, and I thank God for faithful pastors. But I also do, Richard, I long for pastors to really seize the platform that they have and influence their parishioners to vote and be involved. But do you have any advice for how churches can speak about God's heart for government?
Well, sure. So the first thing is that I think pastors need to take a fresh look at the Great Commission. Jesus commanded us to disciple nations, not to make converts. Becoming a Christian is just the first step toward discipleship, on the journey of discipleship. And he also commanded us to teach all people to obey all things that he's commanded. That means the entire Word of God, Alex, and the Bible has a lot to say about government. And it's an important area of every human being's life. And so if we are not preaching about it, then we are not fulfilling our calling and our duty. So that's number one. And there are tons of resources available to help pastors who want to venture into this field. I also recommend that pastors everywhere find someone in their church to lead a civic action team. And this is a way to bridge the local church into the community so that the people in the local church can be informed about what's happening and find opportunities to get involved and to make a difference. And if they don't know where to go on that, they can just go to Truth and Liberty's website and find the links there for culture impact teams, the links for Salt and Light Councils, and for Christians Engaged. Those are three organizations that will facilitate the creation of those civic action teams inside the local church. And so I know that I'm kind of filibustering here, Alex, but
if
a pastor
good.
Could do those two things, begin to preach on all the issues of the day from a biblical perspective and encourage and motivate his church to get involved, and then set up, he doesn't have to do it, find someone in the church to do it, that person who's politically inclined, who's always talking about what's going on in the culture and in politics, and tap that guy or that lady to lead a civic action team. And if they need more information, they can reach out to us here at Truth and Liberty, and we'll do everything we possibly can to help them get that set up. And I promise this, that is a lot easier than it sounds, because all the tools and all the resources are already available, the programs, the educational content, it's all out there. You just got to get connected to it.
Exactly. Well, we've got a brief break. Stay tuned, folks. We're going to come back and talk more with attorney Richard Harris, plus Franklin Graham of Operation Christmas Child, and more on today's edition. Stay tuned.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
I recently saw a list from the History Channel about seven inventions during the Gilded Age that changed the world, and it reminded me of a commentary I did a dozen years ago based upon the book by Mark Stein called After America. He had us imagine what it would be like to bring your great-grandfather living in the late 19th century to an ordinary American house in 1950. Well, the poor gentleman would be astonished. The house is full of mechanical contraptions. There's this huge machine in the corner of the kitchen, full of food and keeping milk fresh and cold. And he would hear an orchestra playing somewhere, and then discovering it came from a tiny box on the kitchen countertop. He would look out the window and see a metal conveyance coming down the street at an incredible speed. It's enclosed with doors and windows. It's like a house on wheels. And there are lots of things called cars, but not a horse or horse-drawn carriage in sight. But now imagine that you could send someone from 1950 to our world today. I think they'd be disappointed. Not much has changed at all. Sure, there are computers and smartphones, but I would imagine he would have expected more changes than he found. Most of the remarkable changes took place 100 years ago. So why did our technology reach a plateau? Physics and politics are two reasons. We can dream of flying cars, time machines, and teleporting devices, but there are physical limits that prevent them from being created. The other reason is politics, and especially bureaucratic regulations. Government makes it more difficult to be an inventor and an entrepreneur. It's time to roll back the size of government that stifles innovation and imagination. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Go deeper on topics like you just heard by visiting pointofview.net. That's pointofview.net.
Pastor Robert Jeffress.
Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Imagine a giant dam that is in danger of collapsing, crumbling, and there's a village below filled with people who are in danger of being flooded. And a group of concerned townspeople go up and they push up against that dam. Then they know ultimately their effort is futile. Ultimately, that dam is going to burst. And that's really what we Christians are trying to do. We're not going to save this culture. We're not going to prevent its ultimate collapse. But we're to push back against evil for as long as we can to give people an opportunity to hear the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ. We're to be a preservative, pushing back against evil, but at the same time, we're to be sharing the light of Jesus Christ. And I believe we're to get involved and not get in our spiritual silos and wait for the end to come.
A reminder from American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here. So honored that you're listening. We're talking with Richard Harris of Truth and Liberty. By the way, Truth and Liberty is on every night. The website is truthandliberty.net, 5:30 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and in the time zone of your residence, folks. And the number to call in, you can call in with questions. And Richard, when you're hosting, when I'm hosting, and I had the privilege recently, we had Ken Ham on. Last week, I had Jonathan Kahn on. Isn't it fun to open up the phones and take questions from viewers?
Oh, yeah, that's one of the best parts of the show is to hear from people that are listening because you never know what you're going to get. It's usually pretty entertaining, but it's great to interact with people and to hear their points of view and really their hearts. And, you know, Alex, I think there are millions of people in this nation who love America, who still believe that we stand for something higher and better and that God has a purpose and a plan for our country. And so it's a blessing for me. I know you feel the same way. It's just such a blessing to be a part of helping to encourage and people like that and to equip them to stand for truth in the public square. So yeah, we love hearing from our callers on Truth and Liberty.
Well, and you know, one of the things that I really love, Richard, is when people get engaged and they get well confident, whether it be through, you know, giving out voter guides or helping people, helping churches start impact groups. And people realize that, wow, you know, I'm one of 300 million citizens, but I can make a difference. And to everybody listening out there, you know, I love the founding fathers, but they would say things like this, like Benjamin Franklin once said that we all love the fruits of freedom, but we have to tend the tree that bears the fruits. America is a nation where involved citizens, regardless of their worldview, they do chart the course for the future, don't they, Richard?
Well, absolutely. That's a great quote. You know, Bill, our good friend Bill Federer, has a book, and it's called Who is the King in America? And I think it's a fascinating concept, and basically it boils down to that you and I are kings. Every American is the king of the country, and we all sit on the throne. And when we abdicate our throne by not getting involved, by not letting our voices be heard, by not voting according to biblical values, then someone is going to take that throne, and it's a usurper and a tyrant. And that's how we lose our liberties, is by not recognizing who we are and what our responsibility and true power really is.
So as an attorney, let me ask you, is a pastor in his pulpit at liberty to speak about moral, political, and social issues?
You know, that is absolutely, the answer is yes. And I would go even farther and say, not only is he at liberty, he's under obligation, because the people under him need to be equipped with truth so they can be salt and light. And according to Ephesians chapter 4, the purpose of the fivefold ministry is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And so, yes, absolutely he is. And, you know, America was built on the concept of natural law. You're really familiar with this, Alex, I know, because we've talked about it so many times. The founders refer to natural law, the laws of nature and nature's God, in the Declaration of Independence. It's the idea that God is the one who has woven a universal moral law into all of creation, and in that is where we get our rights, that God has endowed us with the inalienable rights of life, liberty, and property. So a pastor is, according to natural law, is 100% free to preach the Word of God in his pulpit on any subject, whatever that might be, even government. Now, in the United States, in our tax code, the Internal Revenue Code, they inserted a provision back in the 1950s that says, well, 501c3 organizations cannot endorse or oppose candidates. But did you know that a church in America is automatically tax exempt and does not have to apply for 501c3 status to be tax exempt? And so churches and pastors are 100% free to even endorse candidates and oppose candidates. Now, that may cost you your C3 designation, but you'd still be tax exempt as a church. So the answer is unequivocally 100% yes.
Wow, that is so powerful. And by the way, I was on the Truth and Liberty website, and I see that you there are so many resources, folks, up there, voting tools. If you go to truthandliberty.net, under resources, there is a tab for the voter guide, the iVoter Guide. And I know we've interviewed the leaders behind this, but this is so helpful that in all 50 states, I mean, you can see who are the candidates that are constitutionalists, that are believe in morals and life. And really, you know, Richard, there's no reason that we couldn't be used by God to help save our nation. And I just pray that we do, because so many things are on the line, like freedom of religion, freedom of religious expression. And it's really the soul and future of the country, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. For our first freedoms, you know, the founders in the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, we often refer to the First Amendment. Not very many Americans know exactly what's in there, but there's five liberties that are secured in that amendment, and the very first of those five is the freedom of religion. Freedom of conscience is what our founders also called it. Next is freedom of speech. So these two kind of go together. It's the idea that we have the unalienable right to express our hearts toward God, in the way that we worship and serve him, and in our views as we speak to one another and share our points of view and speak out on issues that matter. And that right there is the core of what America is and what we're all about. The very first settlers, as we're approaching Thanksgiving now, brother, this week,
right.
You know, the pilgrims landed at Cape Cod in 1620, and they really had one purpose, and that was to find a place where they could have the freedom to worship God and to serve him and build a society according to the dictates of their conscience, according to their views of Holy Scripture. And that's who we are as Americans. And if we forsake that, then really our whole mission statement has been abandoned, and we have to ask the question of what are we doing here? We need to get back to that. We need to get back to an understanding that America is a Christian nation, and it's only because of that we even have the freedoms that we enjoy today.
Richard Harris, we thank you so much. Thank you for what you're doing on Truth and Liberty, and I look forward to being on the program with you. And in the meantime, let's pray, let's stand strong, let's stay bold as you do so well. God bless you, my friend. Thanks for being on.
Thanks, Alex. Love you, brother. Thanks for the opportunity.
God bless.
And happy Thanksgiving.
And to you as well. Well, folks, you're listening to the American Family Radio Network, and we're going to bring up another very special guest. And as we do, I'm holding in my hand something that came in the mail today. It's my 2024 Samaritan's Purse calendar. And it reminds me of something going on around the world right now that everybody knows, one of the most recognizable brands or initiatives, and that is Operation Christmas Child, the shoebox ministry, the leader behind it all, Franklin Graham. We welcome him to the American Family Radio Network right now. Reverend Graham, thank you for being on with us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, give us an update. What's going on with OCC Operation Christmas Child?
Well, this is just concluding, collection week, and this is an exciting time of year for us as the boxes begin to come in. We have tens of thousands of volunteers helping us to inspect the boxes, to sort them, to put them in cartons, put them into trucks. Put them on ships, put them on planes, and they're going out to over 140 countries. I mean, this is Christmas. This is so much fun. But every box is an opportunity to evangelize children around the world, because we ask as people pack the boxes, pray for the child that's going to get the box. And the volunteers that help sort the boxes, we ask them, pray for these boxes as you handle them, that God will use these boxes to touch a child somewhere in the world. And of course, the churches around the world that help us in the distribution, they pray for the children as they begin to pass them out. So these boxes come with not just one prayer, but multiple prayers behind them. And we know that God hears the prayer of one righteous person. And can you imagine 11 million boxes this year with three and four people praying per box for that child? You know God's going to hear those prayers. And it's just an incredible time of year. And so it's about evangelism. We have a discipleship course as well, 12 mm-hmm. lessons called The Greatest Journey for the kids that receive Christ. We have a program to disciple them through the churches that present the shoebox to them. So it's actually a year-round project. It's not even though we're collecting boxes this time of year, the work, the evangelism, the discipleship goes on year-round.
Indeed. What year did the shoebox ministry begin?
It was during the war in Bosnia. I think it was 93, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, did you start it kind of as a one-time thing, or did you envision that it would take on the scope that it has?
No, it was a guy in England, and he was a Christian, but Operation Christmas Child wasn't a Christian program. He just said, we're going to send some gifts to children in Bosnia this year. You want to help us there in North America? I said, sure. And I think about 11,000 boxes we had that first year. And then after 3 years, the guy in England just said, we can't do this anymore. It's killing us financially. And it was killing us financially. You know, we just didn't have the systems in place and the procedures. So we just decided, okay, we'll try it one more year. The English were out of it. They dropped out. So we said, okay, we'll try it one more year, but we're going to make an effort to try to tell every child about Jesus Christ. And since we did that, we have not had a financial problem one day.
And you know what's so exciting is that these boxes go maybe where missionaries can't go. And we've had testimonies. We've had representatives on the radio here from Samaritan's Purse that they came to Jesus through the shoebox ministry as a child, and now they're working with Samaritan's Purse. That's got to be very gratifying to you.
No question, Alex. It's incredible. It's just something God has done, so we give Him the glory. And if anything good is out of it, it's because of God. If something bad comes out of it, it's going to be because of us. God has just blessed it, and so it's an incredible program, and it's about trying to take the name of Jesus Christ to the children of the world.
Amen. Well, here we are, Thanksgiving week. Do people still have time to be involved this year? What can listeners
do? No question.
Please tell us.
We need all the shoeboxes we can get. We never have enough. There's always children that don't get shoeboxes. We ask people to put toys in a box, put some pencils and paper and pin, those kinds of things, but put a toy, if it's for a girl, a doll, if it's for a boy, put a little toy truck or something, or a deflated soccer ball, and then pray for the child that's going to get that box, that God will just take that gift and use it and multiply it many times over. Mm-hmm. And so it's not too late. You can mail them right now. And you can send them to Samaritan's Purse to our address here. You can go to samaritanspurse.org online and find out where to send them, and we'll take them up to the last second.
Well, amen, amen. Now, what about churches? How can churches be involved?
Well, we just asked that if the church. I was at church this past Sunday, where they announced, and the people brought, they announced it the Sunday before, the people brought their boxes in. The pastor had the people stand and pray for the boxes that had come, and then we sent a truck and pick them up. And so if a person wants to get involved, all the details, again, are on the website, samaritanspurse.org, and just click on Operation Christmas Child. And all the information you need to know, not only how to pack a box, but where to send the box and how to be involved as a church.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. With the conflict, in Israel, and then the conflict that continues in the Ukraine, oh my goodness, so much around the world. Give us, if you would, your assessment of just how urgently this world needs the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Well, let's start. I was in Israel this time last week, and was in two kibbutzes, one called Beri, and it's a kibbutz of about 1,000, and they had over 10% killed. Over 100 were killed in that one little community. Mm. And I walked through the community. Everybody was gone. They're staying in hotels and so forth. The army was in there. They're firing artillery into Gaza from this kibbutz. But I met a woman whose husband had been killed. She had two little children, and her husband was a doctor. And so she had just come back to try to get a few things out of her house. But many of the houses were burned. The people were burned. They shot women. They shot children. They raped women. And this melee went on for 4 days. It wasn't just something that happened for a couple of hours and it was over with. It just continued. And it's just evil. And we are going to try to get as many shoeboxes as we can this year to the children of these families who are held up in hotels. Again, they're throughout the country. There's about 500,000 Israelis right now living in hotels because they can't go back home because of the fighting. So we're going to try to get as many shoeboxes into the hands of these kids as we possibly can.
Whenever I travel and I see Samaritan's Purse airplanes around, and it says International Relief, and I know that while the shoebox may be the thing for which you are most well known, Samaritan's Purse is doing so many things all around the world to give a cup of cold water, shall we say, in Jesus' name. You're helping in Israel. You're helping in the Ukraine. And tell about the other things Samaritan's Purse does.
Well, in Israel, the first responders, it's, they're kind of equivalent to the Red Cross. They don't have the Red Cross. It's called Makan David Adom. That's the name of their first responders, and they're the ones who run the ambulances throughout the country and so forth. Well, they had 14 ambulances that were shot up by Hamas. 11 of their drivers were killed. And I told them we'd replace those 14 ambulances. And then when I got there, I found that there's also a need for armored ambulances, especially these ambulances are very close to the border. They need a way to protect the people inside. So we said, okay, we'll buy 7 armored ambulances. Well, so that's 21 ambulances we've got coming for Israel. We're providing trauma kits. We've got 1,000 trauma kits for the responders in this area. They have a combat application tourniquets. They've got chest tube kits. They've got suture kits, intubation kits in these trauma kits. So we've given those out. And it's just, we just look around for things that are needed, the things that people need right then. We're doing food vouchers for the people that are stuck in hotels. Just so they can have some supplemental foods, where they get the card, where they can go to. It's like a dollar store there in Israel.
Sure,
it's not called dollar store; it's a Hebrew name. But they can go in there and get some clothing, or they can get a little bit of food if they need to. So, in the Ukraine, of course, it's winter coming on, and we are providing not only warm clothing, but food. We're distributing Operation Christmas Child there this year. We've been doing it for over 30 years, so this is something we're going to continue to do. We've provided medicine. We don't have a hospital set up there right now because it's been targeted several times. And so we have to be very careful because we don't want to become a target and our staff be a target. But it's, both of Israel and Ukraine, these are war zones, and we have to be careful.
I want to say how much I appreciate all that you're doing. And I do want to say this as I know we're almost up on a break here, but your son Will is in Hungary right now preaching the gospel.
Yes.
And this is very significant because it's 500 years since the Reformation of the gospel and Christian leaders. Can you give us an update on what he's doing over there in the celebration in Hungary and any traveling and speaking you'll be doing next year?
Well, my son, I'm very proud of him. He's a great evangelist, and he was invited to preach in Hungary and Budapest. I was there just a couple months ago meeting with some Russian pastors there. They're right now, the need spiritually in Eastern Europe is incredible. And yes, I'm just proud of Will for going there and preaching and giving a very clear message and giving the gospel, inviting people to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And next year, I just finished preaching a few weeks ago in Rome. And then I'll be going next year, looks like, to Naples, Glasgow. I'll be back in London next year, I'll be in Vietnam. I'm looking like we're going to be in Laos next year. So we've got a very, then I'm going to be in Mexico City, and then I'm going up the Mexican-U.S. border, 10 cities along the border. The music will be in Spanish, and I'll be translated into Spanish. So we're really focusing on the Hispanic community in February with Mexico City and then going up the U.S. border.
In Charlotte, at the Billy Graham Library, I'm sure there'll be Christmas at the library again this year, right?
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
All right.
That's a great, if you want some place to take your family and spend an afternoon or an evening, the Billy Graham Library in Charlotte, my mother loved Christmas, and she loved to decorate. And so we've decorated the library the way my mama would want it. So it's a lot of fun. We've got carriage rides, and it's just fun.
It's unforgettable. Well, thank you for all you're doing on behalf of the gospel, and thanks for being with us today. And God bless Operation Christmas Child.
Thank you. God bless you, sir. Thank you.
God bless you. Folks, this is the American Family Radio Network. We've got a brief break. We'll come back. More and questions, the open phone lines, 888-589-8840. Alex McFarland here saying, stay tuned. We're back after this.
Hi, I'm Matt Ayers, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Do you want to be prepared for ministry at an institution that you can trust? Wesley Biblical Seminary has been training trusted leaders for faithful churches for almost 50 years. In a nation where many denominations and theological institutions are caving to cultural pressure, Wesley Biblical Seminary is standing strong on God's truth. Earn your bachelor's or master's degree to equip you for faithful and fruitful ministry. Learn more at wbs.edu.
Spreading the love and message of Jesus just got easier. The Christmas Bundle helps break the ice and open the door to share the gospel. It contains a Christmas shirt, 3 Christmas button or wristband 10 packs, 8 ounces of Noel coffee, the Advent Alphabet Book, a Hope of All the Earth CD, and a 10-pack of Isaiah 9:6 stickers, all at a very special price. Get your Christmas Bundle today at resources.afa.net.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. Hey, we've got our dates set for 2024 for our spiritual heritage tours. We're going to Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, seeing all the sites that you wanted to see if you've never been there. And then we're also going to George Washington's Mount Vernon. We're going to Mount Vernon on Saturday. There'll be time also for you to see the Bible Museum on Saturday afternoon as well. So it's going to be a fabulous time there in our nation's capital next June and September. We're also going to Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on a separate trip. And the tours are back-to-back if you want to do Williamsburg and D.C. For all the information on the June and September trips, go to the website spiritualheritagetours.com. spiritualheritagetours.com for all the information you need to know.
When I ask my audiences how many of you have better character and greater faith because of the challenges, the hands go up.
This is Focus on the Family Minute featuring Dr. Kathy Cook.
And also when I ask, do you value greatly the things you've worked hard for? Every
Absolutely.
Hand goes up.
Yeah.
So if we overprotect, they lose.
Yeah.
So we need to back out and we need to leave the room and we need to let the consequences do their work. Now, please make sure you understand me. I'm not saying watch a kid get hit by a car. You know,
yeah.
If your kid's going to ride out into the street, yell, stop. Don't
or
stand
spiral
there.
Down.
Yeah, or spiral
addictions
down.
Or
yeah,
something.
Don't
get
stand
engaged.
There and go, what would Dr. Kathy want me to do? No, but in the day-to-day living of life,
yeah.
They need to suffer the consequences of their choices. If they don't study, they earn a C. It wasn't that the teacher was mean. They earned a C because they forgot to study.
More from Dr. Cook at FamilyMinute.org.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here sitting in on A Disciple's View. I'm very honored to be sitting in, and I want to say thanks for this opportunity. By the way, folks, the number is 888-589-8840. If you want to converse, let's just remember as we enter into this Thanksgiving week that our God is in control. I've got one verse for you, and then I'm going to talk to some people. And hey, share what you're thankful for this week. 888-589-8840. Matthew 6, verse 8, and I love this verse. Jesus said this. He said that God knows what you need even before you ask. Isn't that awesome? Now, it honors God when we ask, we pray, and we bring our petitions to God. And I do hope you're praying and you're interceding for our nation. But I just think it's such a wonderful thing that the Bible says God knows what we need even before we ask. And yet when we ask and we show that He is our source and we're depending on God, not ourselves, that's a spiritually healthy place to stay, humbly acknowledging that we need the Lord. We're going to go to Nick in Mississippi. And yes, Nick, thanks for holding and welcome to the program.
Hey, Alex, thanks.
Good to have
a brief conversation. Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's good to have. Thanks.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'll try to be brief. I had a conversation with a young Christian, and the gist of it was he's receiving a message, you know, from his pastor. And I hear this amongst many, many solid, even solid Christian leaders that, you know, why does it matter if we vote Republican or Democrat or, you know, let's just basically sit around and give up and just wait for the Lord to return. And my rebuttal, my response to this young man was, you know, we can do both. We can walk and chew gum at the same time. You know, we can. It's our job, actually. I think God has something to say about that, that we can be engaged and wait for the Lord to return at the same time. And I just, my question would be, why I'm hearing this defeatist attitude from behind the pulpit more and more, and it's kind of alarming.
Yeah, Nick, I'm so glad you bring this up, because I hear this too. There's just this kind of let's white knuckle it, let's just hunker down and wait for the rapture, and I hope things aren't too bad. But look, and I believe in the rapture. You know, I believe the trumpet is going to sound one day. But you know, I read like Luke 12:35 and following, and Jesus says, "Be ready, keep your lamps burning." Like the servants waiting for their master to return. And so we are to be ready, be faithful. And there are a lot of people, maybe they are ready, but they're not being faithful. And look, we don't know if the Lord is going to come back this afternoon or in a century from now. Frankly, I believe, Nick, that we're very likely near the return of Christ. But I just don't see any biblical sanctioning just to sit around and just wait for the end. I think we're supposed to fight for the light, fight for truth, stand for righteousness every day that we're alive. And I've got another thought I want to share, but don't you believe that we should be confident and have a victorious posture, not a defeatist attitude? Wouldn't you agree, Nick?
Absolutely. Amen.
Yeah.
Listen, Jesus said, go into all the world, you know, don't just store it up in the church houses. I mean, we're supposed to be ambassadors, you know, not,
Yeah. Because as a Christian, we are not victims. We are victors. We're overcomers, folks. I mean, we are sons and daughters of the King. Nick, when I was a young believer, I'd only been saved like about a year. I was probably about 22 years old. And I knew this older pastor who, and this was in the late 80s, but this pastor was in his 90s. And he said to me, he remembered back during World War II and when Hitler emerged, and he said people, they just knew it was going to be the end of the world. Because here is a man that persecuted the church, killed millions of Jews. He was part Jewish himself. And he said to me, that people thought, oh, clearly, obviously, Adolf Hitler must be the Antichrist, built on world domination. And, of course, while Hitler was immeasurably evil, he wasn't the Antichrist. You know, he died. And but imagine, you know, there would be another 100 years of world history beyond the Third Reich to live out the Great Commission. And so this pastor said to me, and he's long since in heaven, his name was Edsel Hufstetler. He was a German man. But he said, look, there's always going to be evil and sin and sinners. Just keep on keeping on. Stay ready. Stay faithful. And I've thought about that. One other thing that I would bring up is this, that, you know, the old saying, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. By the way, folks, if you want to weigh in on the conversation, the number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Folks, I got to tell you, Satan wants us to be discouraged. Now, you know, I'm a realist in that I know that, you know, there is evil, and there are always enemies of our constitutional representative republic. By the way, I was on the phone earlier today with a college professor from a major American university, and he's always talking about the words they're not allowed to say anymore. And every year they get these new updated lists of words that are not PC, and they're enemies of free speech, enemies of freedom itself, enemies of righteousness and morality and truth, and yes, enemies of the gospel. But we're here today, folks, and on this Thanksgiving week, let's be grateful that we have God on speed dial. You know, God knows our needs. God hears our prayers. We can intercede. And so let's not just roll over and play dead, but let's stand strong and be used by God to push back the darkness and hold forth the light. We're going to go to Kansas. Larry in Kansas. I was just thinking about Kansas because I preached there about a year and a half ago. But Larry, thanks for listening and welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Alex, and you're always welcome to come back. But I'm calling in.
Yes, I would love to.
I'm calling in because I'm really thankful for Operation Christmas Child. And, you know, we wrapped up. You guys have just been awesome about advertising for Operation Christmas Child. And I want to thank you for that, for your support. I'm a year-round volunteer. And here in my area, we wrapped up our National Collection Week. And I'm just so encouraged by the work of the Holy Spirit. We increased our collection by 20%. Yesterday, and my local church increased their giving by 30%, and you know, I just think if that's going nationwide, we're going to have tremendous outpouring of gospel opportunities going around the world and changing lives. It just gives me joy to think about how God's working in this.
Amen. It is a wonderful thing. And Larry, I'll tell you one of the side benefits. I was talking to a pastor this week. People volunteer and they end up getting affiliated with a church. So pastors and churches, you know, packing the shoeboxes, and, you know, I've heard all these wonderful stories of they'll, you know, pop popcorn and they'll make it like a party. And people come to volunteer, and I mean, who wouldn't love this? You're going to bring joy to a little child. Very often in parts of the world where these children live in poverty and they get a shoebox. And for many of the children that get the OCC, Operation Christmas Child shoebox, this might be the highlight of their entire childhood. But people volunteer, and they very often plug in with these churches, don't they?
They do. And in fact, this May 30th, 2024, I'm going to get to go to Ecuador and be a part of that distribution.
Amen. Amen. Larry, thank you so much. Time fleets away, so I want to try to get Jim in. Let's go, if we could, Jim in Illinois. Jim, thanks for holding. I've got to ask you, have you had snow yet up in Illinois?
No, Brother Alex, we haven't. We've had mild weather, sort of. We've had a few days where it dropped down in the 30s, and we got the low 20s coming ahead of us this week. I just wanted to share with you, brother, for Thanksgiving, a verse of scripture that means so much to me. Psalm 68, verse 19, "Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, which is the greatest benefit of all." Psalm 68, Amen. Verse 19, one of the greatest verses of the Bible. God bless
Jim,
you.
Jim, thank God bless you. That is a great verse. Praise be to the Lord, our God and Savior. And I love it. It says He daily bears our burdens. Thank you, Jim. Well, folks, I'll be on again tomorrow, 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern, 12 to 1 Central, and so forth, with more. So tune in. We'll have more great programming. Thanks for listening. May God bless you in this Thanksgiving week. Let's praise the name of our faithful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Stay grateful. Stay faithful. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.